is Iconic, with your hosts JM, Mark, and Nick.
Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th Age. I'm your host, JM, and with me as always are Nick and Mark.
Hello.
Hey.
We have a great show for you this week. In that iconic look, we're going to be looking at 13th Age's concept of failing forward and how to apply it in your game. So let's head into that iconic look.
That iconic look.
So you can find the basics of failing forward on page 42 and 43 of your main rulebook. It really is a very small section of the rules, but it can really turn around how you run games. So we wanted to dedicate a whole episode to it. The authors call out Luke Crane of Burning Wheel and Ron Edwards of The Forge and Sorcerer and a number of other games as kind of being the inspiration for this. And it really was a indie game design of a bad skill roll should not end the game. And so the concept of failing forward is that outside of combat, because you will fail in combat multiple times, you'll just, you know, fail to hit whatever creature Gareth put in the latest adventure. The story should continue to move forward. Failures that end the story. Robin Laws talks a lot about this in Knight's Black Agents and Ken Hite in Trail of Cthulhu, that they were tired of games where they tried to run a mystery game in D&D and Nick's character failed to find the clue and play grinds to a halt. Or if the adventure's on the other side of a door and Mark's character can't pick the lock, the game grinds to the halt. So it's all about how to make the story more interesting.
So we use the GM to start saying, okay, you failed that roll. How about someone else tries rolling?
Yeah. Yeah. I've played in plenty of those mystery games where either the players just can't figure it out. And you're like, okay, well, give me a skill roll. You get something that's related to that, you know, sociology comes to mind. And make a roll to try to get through it, and nobody can make rolls. The dice are just killing you that night. And it does – maybe the story as a whole doesn't end and give up the campaign, but that night kind of turns into a failure of we couldn't do squat, and this is a way to make it work.
Yeah.
And still, you could say, penalize them, or something happens because you failed.
Yeah. So, Mark, why don't you tell us kind of what is failing forward? I mean, how would you define it?
Well, obviously, it's in the name. The player still fails the roll. So I can give you an example of how I thought about this when we read this and come up with the idea of doing this episode of, okay, your group needs to recover the Red Crown of Omadon. And I keep throwing it out there until someone says they're tired of hearing of that.
That's right. Comment on our thread.
Comment. And so you're going to sneak into the Keep of the Orc Lord to redo it. So you get to the keep and decide, you know what? Our thief is going to climb up and lower a rope so we can all climb in and be stealthy about it. So the old way is make a climb roll. Fail. Okay, you fall and take 3d6 damage. Try again. Not as much fun as, okay, make a climbing roll. You fail. Okay, you get to the top, but you trip the alarm. And as you scramble over the top, orc guards are waiting for you. They can still get into the keep. But there's been a complication.
Yeah, or you stumble into a trap or something
like that. Yeah, you set off the trap or something happens, but I use that one. And then, okay, now it's up to the thief. And he can do whatever he's going to do, set the rope. The party can still get in, and he's got to deal with these guards.
Mm-hmm.
Running around, fighting them, doing something. You're in. You know, you've gotten in, but this is what happens.
And it doesn't have to be that immediate either.
I mean, no, it doesn't have to be that immediate.
You can have the guards waiting for them in the hold.
Yeah. Yeah, it just depends what complication you want to put in there versus just, you know, you fall, take damage, try again, or... And I've played in games where you made a climbing roll every 10 feet.
Yeah.
That just gets old.
Second edition D&D.
You roll. Look, the eighth time you failed. You take 8d6. Okay, let's try this again. You know, and it just kind of grinds because everyone else is sitting there waiting. It's like, come on.
Yeah, and if you're gonna not do something immediate, at least give the players some foreshadowing so that they know, okay, what's coming up is a consequence of this.
Here's another example. Indiana Jones. He gets the golden head but sets off the trap. So now he's got to get out while he's got it and try to survive the darts and rolling stone and all that kind of stuff. So that's another good example of he accomplished, the story's moving forward, but you've got this big complication.
Indiana Jones failing his roles.
That's right. One of the best tools that I have been introduced to for using this concept at the table comes from Burning Wheel, which is Luke Crane's kind of big game. When your player says they want to do something, ask them what their intent is. Mm. Train your players to tell you their intent as opposed to just say, I'm going to make a climb roll. Because you can pick up on things as the GM that will provide you information for failing forward. So the example from Burning Wheel that they use is they came to a locked door and the player was like, I want to pick the lock. And, you know, Luke's like, no, what's your intent here? He's like, oh, you know, I want to pick the lock before the guards find us. Well, cool. The player has clarified that they want to pick the lock before the guards find them. So if they fail, it doesn't mean they didn't open the door, but it means that they didn't open the door before the guards found them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you probably weren't even thinking guards showing up. But
exactly.
They threw that right for you. So yeah, definitely throw back on the players to explain what they want to do.
Yes.
And that's one of the key things in this is you're saying yes. Don't, you know, if the sorcerer says, well, I want to hurl a javelin with a rope tied to the end. You're like, well, that's not your skill. You can't do that. Don't say no. Say, okay, go ahead.
You can apply background.
What are you trying to do? Anything. Well, I'm going to throw it over and get it caught in the battlements so we can do it. Okay, now you got the idea. So maybe when he fails, okay, it goes up and over, but it hits that orc guard on the wall.
Yeah, and he's now holding
the rope. He's now holding the rope. So, yeah, no, just, you know, say yes and let them explain what they want to do. And
well, going to your pushing back to the players, I got to, at the Starfest convention, I got to play 13th Age with Jonathan Tweet. And his way of...
It's okay, just rub it in.
That's right. Did I mention that I got to play 13th Age with Jonathan Tweet?
Yes.
It was also 13th Age Glorantha, so that should just sting even a little bit more. What he would do is he would have you describe what you wanted to do. You made your roll, and if you failed, he would remind you of the basic premise of 13th Age. He would say, all right, now you're a hero. You obviously didn't fail your stealth roll because you're not stealthy. That's just not what your character does. So what went wrong? And it pushed the narrative back to the player, and they were like, well, okay, I snuck around, but I didn't expect X, Y, or Z. And suddenly the GM has the new plot to go forward. They still failed, in quotes, their skill roll, but it wasn't because they're a first-level thief from second edition and, you know, are walking around with gold coins in their pockets or walking around screaming how stealthy they are. You're the heroes of the story. It's 13th Age. It's a very epic, heroic game.
Very good. Very good. I like that.
So what are some other ways that you can use failing forward at the table?
Well, one of the core concepts that I keep coming back to is that it's not necessarily allowing them to succeed at every single thing that they try doing. It's the overarching concept behind this is to keep the story moving forward. You don't want them to be at the door at the end of the hallway and they have to pick it to get through, and then that's where they're stuck, and then that's where the story ends. Your goal isn't necessarily to get them through the door. Your goal is to get them through whatever is beyond the door. So we've talked a lot about you succeed, but another thing you could talk about is, well, you failed this, you didn't pick the lock, but something else happened that mm-hmm. allowed you to get through. For instance, maybe, you know, as one person is picking the lock, someone else looks over and is like, you know what, guys? There's an open window right here. We could just crawl through here. Why are we messing with this door? And that's a way of failing that particular skill check, but allowing the entire story to keep moving on.
Hmm.
Another thing is, you attract the wrong attention. But at the same time, maybe it's another group of thieves that are working there that are trying to get in, and they help you, but in the process of doing so, they rob you blind or pick your pockets or something like that. They take that magic item that you liked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I kind of thought about this too when we went through it. In Shadowrun, they used a glitch rule. You can succeed in glitch, so you can do what you want to do, whatever you intended to do, but something else happens. So they kind of throw it in that system too. Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So a question I had was, how often should you do this? I mean, is it better to...
Do it on every roll.
Is it better to kind of have this be a nice seasoning that every once in a while when things are at a core juncture, that's when you allow them to fail forward? Or should it be every single time that they do this, allow them to? Failing to pick locks is... It's a part of life. Sometimes you can't do everything.
That's true. What I would do is, if they're trying to get into the merchant's warehouse, the first door, if he fails, okay, you failed. Let him try to find another way in, second story, something. But if it becomes apparent that, Nick's dice are hating him tonight, and he's not going to pick this door ever.
Or kick it down.
Kick it, yeah. Then yeah, maybe you, as you're trying to pick it and you fail it, the guard hears it and opens the door going, what are you doing here? And okay, the door's open. Now you have to deal with this situation. But yeah, not the first time or not every time.
Yeah.
I was joking when I said that earlier. But yeah, at a certain point, like, okay, they've got to get in here to find the clue, to move the story forward. Then let's, you know, move forward.
See, I would say you could do it every roll. You may have planned fail forward. So, you know, the guy's picking the lock and he says before the guards come, or the door's not, you decide, okay, well, I guess you failed, but the door swings open because the guards are coming through from the other side. but if you push it back to your players, if your default mode is to say, well, you obviously wouldn't have failed the lock picking roll because you would fail the lock picking roll. What went wrong? Why not push that back on the players every time? Because they may not come up with, well, I succeeded. They may come up, well, it's a magical lock. I didn't expect that. Okay, well, cool. Now they've added something new to the scene that wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm.
That's
good. It just depends on your flavor and what you're comfortable with. But yeah, you could, as long as you're moving it up and have an idea, can think on your feet.
I guess, suppose it's a way of dealing with problem players. You know, you fail. Everyone else will succeed at everything, but you fail.
How so?
That means you say, okay, the door unlocks, and it falls on you and kills you. Roll up a new character. We'll move on.
Wow. Do not follow that advice. another way to let the players take control, that this kind of applies more to the in-combat use of fail forward. And this is another thing that I would steal from Burning Wheel. You remember the use of persona points to survive instant death in Burning Wheel?
Yeah.
So I would allow icon relationships dice that have come up to allow you to fail forward. So if your character is about to die, spend an icon relationship roll to fail forward. And what I mean by that is, and Luke Crane, I'm going to go back to Burning Wheel. The example was, this troll is going to hit you with its club. You're dead. You failed your roll, you know, or you in Burning Wheel, suppose, but you know it hit you and you got 3 hit points left. Make the situation worse for you, but buy yourself some time. So instead of crushing you, it breaks your weapon and pushes you back over the edge of the cliff. We would all agree that's a much worse position than he was beforehand, but it buys the group a little bit of time to use that failure to actually move, you know, give them another round to buy to save the player.
Yeah, and I think the concept of not a lot, or giving your players the option of, when it comes time for them to receive that final blow, say, well, no, you don't die, but here's what happens. You know, you lose your arm at the elbow, and from here on out for the rest of the game, you can't use two-handed weapons because, you know, you don't have a second hand unless you can find some way of getting a hand back. There are many things that are worse than death. And so I think using fail forward, even in your death saves, is a way of adding more flavor and more story to what's going on at the table.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you brought up using plot immunity. We'll link to a blog post I wrote on that, something that plays into the 13th Age genre very well, where you're the heroes and the average goblin isn't going to just take you out. It works really well with 13th Age's campaign loss kind of feel. So what were your thoughts on that, Nick?
Well, just mostly what I just said.
Okay.
Is that, you know, you are heroes, and we want the story to continue to progress, and the story is about the players and what the players are wanting to do. And honestly, once a character dies, that's the end of that story arc. We want that story arc to continue. So rather than just cutting it off right here, let's add an extra twist to it and allow it to keep on going forward. You're out of this battle. You can't do anything else the rest of this round. But when all is said and done, you are resuscitated and there's some complication to your character that you have to deal with from here on out.
Yeah. The other thing that I like about the plot immunity thing is you can revoke that. You can set up certain times where, no, this is the villain of the arc. You don't get to have plot immunity. You don't get to campaign, fail forward here. Maybe you don't even get to campaign loss here. And that really ups the ante for the session. Players sit up more. They pay attention more. In the anime game, when you guys made the decision to revoke plot immunity, you kind of knew we were playing for keeps.
Damn dancers.
The dancers.
That's very true. I mean, the last time that I, the last time I remember playing in one of your games that had plot immunity, the entire time that we were playing, there was this overarching or this concept in the back of our minds that we aren't going to die. I don't have to be afraid to run into this cave and start attacking this troll because I know that my character is not going to die.
Well,
but at the same time, there's a lot of things that are worse than death, and so I wasn't just being entirely reckless. But at the end of that campaign arc, when we went into the last dungeon and you told us plot immunity is off the table, you no longer have it, it just really upped the stakes because we had gotten used to playing at this cutthroat game and got used to feeling, you know, the sense of immunity and the sense that we are powerful, we are heroes. And then all of a sudden, it just put that much more pressure on. This is how big of a deal it is that we're going up against here.
Yeah.
It's a goblin. Run away!
first
I would
edition.
Just say, scratch.
Yeah?
Yeah. You better run. Remember Goblin?
Oh, yeah.
My companion?
Your
and
goblin
I became
companion.
My character because I died.
That's right.
Scratch.
You dedicated his body to the Crusader, and he responded. Good time.
So, well, one other thought I had in regards to this is... allow failing forward to be a choice that you give your players. You didn't succeed at this lockpicking. Would you like to succeed? There's going to be a complication if I allow you to continue. Do you want that? And put that choice back on the players. And in the back of my mind, what I'm thinking of is the Cypher system and GM intrusions. And when you roll a one, you automatically get a free GM intrusion. But if you fail, the GMs have the option to extend you a boon and say, well, I will let you continue in this. I will let you succeed, but there's going to be complications. And what do you guys think about putting that choice on the players? Not necessarily always allowing it, but I will let you allow this.
I think it depends on how you're approaching failing forward, because there still needs to be... I think that would almost be a different mechanic, because you're allowing them to succeed at cost rather than fail and have something different happen. So
what's the difference?
Because with failing forward, they still don't succeed at their original intent. The authors call out that in 13th Age, they encourage you to rule die rolls that don't hit the target number, not as necessarily failures, but as things with complications or bad intents. That's how you interpret die rolls in D20. It's not or in 13th Age. It shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's just
binary,
like in combat,
black and white.
Almost everybody has miss damage, unless it specifically says it doesn't. But most everything, you know, you swing your sword, you miss, you do miss damage. Miss with your sword, hit him with your elbow, kick him, do something. So it's definitely more of a yes, something happens, it just didn't happen quite the way you wanted to.
Yeah,
yeah, I think that's how they interpret these kind of things as failing forward is something happens just not quite the way you wanted to. Maybe you haven't picked a lock, and as they do it, their tools break. So now they're hampered for the rest of the adventure until they can replace the tools. You know, you broke your lock set, you know. Yeah. Now you have to figure out how to do this.
Well, if they're
I think it's kind of a part of just throwing it back on the players as far as, okay, it didn't succeed, why or what happened, and then you allow them to make up. Because it's going to happen. They get over the wall, they get through the door, whatever the problem is. But you throw it on them to come up with what happens. You know, why didn't it work exactly the way you wanted to?
Yeah. I guess I'm just thinking that there's going to be some situations where the players aren't going to care whether or not they succeed or not. You know, if they're trying to haggle on getting a better deal on an item in a shop somewhere, rather than, I mean, they may not really care that much and they're willing to pay the full price, but they're like, you know what, I'll try. I failed. Well, I don't necessarily want all the complications of getting the better deal. I just wanted to try.
Now we're getting into game theory, because I don't think that in 13th Age you should roll the dice unless the outcome is interesting.
Mm.
Just give it to the player. If they want to haggle, 13th Age is, you know, just use the haggling example. Okay, how much gold have you ever received in a 13th Age game where it actually mattered?
Not enough.
Okay, Mark.
No.
Nick was shaking his head.
No, in that whole system, I didn't really pay attention to money at all.
Yeah, it comes back
it was
to kind
quite
of the...
un-RPG-like.
But that you bring up a really good point, Nick. I think failing forward works best if you're only having players roll when the outcome is interesting. If the player wants to find something that it makes it like if Mark's character is a, you know, paladin of the Crusader and he has Hellhold Commando in there, and he's like, well, you know, we're in town, I want to go buy, you know, salves that will protect us from what's coming up. Okay, well, that's kind of within his background to say, yeah, no, okay, you got that. You don't need to nickel and dime the roles. What are your thoughts, Mark?
Yeah, I kind of agree with this system. It's more of, yeah, if it isn't going to matter, success or failure, if it isn't going to change anything, then yeah, maybe they shouldn't roll. Yeah.
With backgrounds, you've got a lot of leeway onto what they have access to. I don't know. Is that kind of
no? That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Yeah, it kind of ties everything in the system together nicely.
Well, you guys have any other examples of when you either were presented with a fail forward or used a fail forward in a game?
It wasn't the system. The one I'm running on Friday nights had the guy. We don't really have thieves. It's a Shadowrun rule set, but it's post-apocalyptic. And the guy that had the most kind of technical skills on that of electronic locks and that kind of thing, the whole night had been checking doors. And the group actually made fun of, oh, what, you're the thief now? And go to another building, goes to a door, doesn't check, goes to pick the lock, fails. So I had to come with grenades drop down and go off at their feet. Just kind of, they can get in there, but something happened because they didn't do what they were supposed to and kind of failed what they were doing.
Well, I think
still got in after they got up and cussed them because he didn't check the lock. Like, hey, you made fun of me.
So going back to your thing, Nick, I don't think that if the player wants to roll the die, they've already made their choice on whether they want an outcome with complications. If they're willing to roll the die on it, then they need to accept the fact that if the GM chooses to use the fail forward option, that's on the table.
Yeah. That's something that the GMs need to keep in mind going into that, then, just because that is an underlying piece of this game.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. One thought that I had, I was running a Numenera game online, and the players needed to turn off a piece of machinery, and rather than going through the method that I had envisioned that they would go through, they had this very creative idea of, well, I'm just going to stab it with my sword. And they failed the roll, and as a result, they still turned the power off to this device, but it also killed the power to the rest of the entire building. And so then they had to do everything else completely in the dark and that sort of thing. So, you know, that's an example of where they did not succeed at what they had intended, or they did succeed at what they intended to do, but there was ramifications of that success that they had not anticipated.
Well, post your examples of failing forward to the Google Plus thread on this episode. We'd love to hear them and interact with you on that. And I think that brings us to the end of the show.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
Later.
Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions or comments, you can contact us at whitedragon@iconicpodcast.com or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.